Grace, mercy, peace, and eternal life are yours through Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Our text is taken from John. It's the closing of his report about who Jesus is, the crucified and risen and living Savior. John chapter 20, 31, verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May God grant us the blessed assurance that the Holy Spirit gives us, that we have life in his name. Why write a book? If you were a historian, you'd probably write a book in order to record the events of the past so that hopefully the new generations will not repeat the errors of the past. If you're a novelist, you just might write for the entertainment of people. You might be like Zane Grey to describe the beauties of Arizona, Nevada, and Utah. If you were a biographer, you'd write about a famous person or someone you wanted to make famous. And some of my favorite books are the books that teach you how to. When my wife passed away 8 years ago, I had to keep going to the cookbook to learn how to. And I'm glad people wrote those cookbooks. There may be as many cookbooks in the world as there are historical books. Why did John write his book? I don't mean the whole Bible. I mean his book, the Gospel according to St. John. He tells us, so that you may know Jesus is the Christ. And believing that, you might have eternal life in his name. Now, why would it seem necessary for John, late in life, perhaps as much as 60 years after Jesus was crucified, to write the basic truth that Jesus is the Christ? We read in Acts chapter 5 that within the first few weeks after Pentecost, after Peter's great sermon, the believers went into the temple and from house to house teaching and proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ. That's been taught from the very beginning. Matthew chapter 1 gives us the list of the ancestors of Jesus from Abraham all the way down to Joseph, who was the wife, who was the husband of Mary, who was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Christ. You see, from the very beginning of the New Testament era, the teaching that Jesus is the Christ was built upon the Old Testament promises that God would send his suffering servant to take away the sins of the world. John the Baptist came, and he reminded us that the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And when John, quoting again and again Isaiah, was asked, "And who are you?" He said, "I am the voice crying in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord." And they said, "Are you the Christ?" No. See, they were expecting Christ. They were expecting the anointed one, Messiah in Hebrew, Christos, Christ in Greek. All the Old Testament true believers believed that God was going to send his Passover lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's what John was proclaiming. Why would the writer, the Apostle John, have to start from the beginning? Matthew, Mark, and Luke had already been written. The Acts of the Apostles and all of the letters of the Apostle Paul had already been written. Well, the truth lies in today's gospel reading. The enemy comes and sows tares, weeds, among the wheat. And the owner, the farmer, says, well, let them grow together. And that's what we have today, isn't it? We have the truth in the wheat of the Word of God, and we have the false doctrines growing right alongside of it. In John's day, the big problem was people denied Jesus was divine. They denied that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. They denied that Jesus was the Christ. So John writes his gospel so that everybody may see the truth, and you and me too. We know it. In fact, one day people came to Jesus and said, if you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus said, I did tell you, and you don't believe. There was an incident where Jesus healed a blind man, blind from birth. He said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And he got his sight back. And the Pharisees came and they said, who healed you? He said, I don't know. I was blind. And so they went and they asked his parents, was it Jesus that healed him that was born blind? And they said, he's of age. Ask him. Why? Why pass the buck back to their son who was healed? Because the Jews had declared, if anybody confesses that Jesus is the Christ, he will be excommunicated from the synagogue. Later on, in Jesus' own ministry, Jesus had said that he was going to suffer and die, and they didn't listen when he said, and rise again. So they said, well, how can you be the Christ? The Christ is to live eternally. See what they expected from their Old Testament faith? Jesus complimented them with good news and then bad news. He says, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. That's good news. Search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But the bad news for them is, but they are the words that testify about me. Jesus was clear. The Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah, the Christ, pointed to Jesus, the son of Mary, born in Nazareth. And they argued, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, they had lots of reasons not to believe that Jesus was the Christ. When Jesus was put on trial, and remember, the Pharisees wanted to find the death penalty. All of the false accusations that fell on Jesus, they just weren't true. Caiaphas, in a moment of frustration, now remember, Caiaphas is the one, as high priest, said, it is better that one man should die for the nation. Of course, it was the truth, but Caiaphas didn't understand what he was saying. So he wants to put Jesus to death, and a good reason to put Jesus to death was to find him guilty of blasphemy. You know the definition? Someone that degrades God. Someone who insults God. And one of the worst insults was to claim to be God. And to claim to be Christ was to claim to be God. So Caiaphas turns to Jesus, who stood there in silence, hasn't said anything in this whole trial. I bind you by oath in the name of the living God to tell us, are you the Christ? And Jesus said, yes, it is just like you say. Remember Caiaphas? He rips his robe and he cries, blasphemy, what do you think? And the whole Sanhedrin shouts, with blasphemy, he is worthy of death. You know, that's not the end of it. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and the crowds of Judeans have come out, and they mock him. They make fun of him. If you are the Christ, come down from the cross, and we will believe it. The crowd understood who Christ was going to be. They understood that Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, also could have been Jesus of Nazareth who claims to be the Christ. The two thieves got into it too, the malefactors. And I just read someplace they said he was put to death for thievery. I think they were also like Barabbas, murderers in the revolt against the Roman government. And the one man says, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. And the other thief, the other murderer, the other malefactor, the other evildoer says, don't you fear God? We are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he turns to Jesus and says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And don't you just love that answer? A man dying, hanging on the cross, says, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's that paradise, it's that resurrection, it's that Easter message we want to talk about today. And our text actually comes right after Jesus appeared to his 10 disciples on Easter evening. You know who's missing? You call him Doubting Thomas. You know, I don't like that name. You know what his nickname was? The twin. Didymus. Thomas Didymus, the twin. You know enough about twins, you should know enough about siblings. When they grow up together, in fact, if they're close to the same age and the same height, they argue, they fight, they quarrel. 10 disciples say to Thomas, we have found the Christ. He's alive. He's living. He appeared to us. And Thomas, I like to call him skeptical Thomas, don't believe it. Don't believe. Can you picture that whole week in the upper room? 10 against 1? And finally Thomas confesses, unless I hear him with my own ears, unless I see him with my own eyes, unless I feel him by putting my fingers into the wound in his hand and into his side, I will not believe. Don't you just love that skepticism that has to be proved that Jesus is alive? A whole week after his death on the cross. A week later, it's Sunday again. You know, actually, every Sunday is Easter. I could preach this sermon every Sunday of the year. I could even preach on Christmas, really, because what's important? Crucified, died, and risen again, because the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. We were like sheep going astray. And he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he's alive. It shows that he has taken away the sins of the world. And he appears in the upper room and he says again to his disciples, all of them, peace to you. And he goes right up to Thomas. Thomas, put your hands here. Put your fingers into my side. Don't be so unbelieving or faithless, but believe. You know what Thomas did? He fell at his knees and down before Jesus and says, my Lord and my God. It wasn't blasphemy to claim to be Christ, to claim to be God. Thomas is convinced. I'm glad Thomas was slow to be convinced. And if you're ever slow to be convinced, this ought to convince you that Jesus is the Christ, the living God, who will take you to be with him in heaven. And that's really the second reason that John wrote the book, that believing you might have life in his name. Let me take you to another man that's pretty important in history. His name is Lazarus. You know Lazarus from Bethany is the brother of Mary and Martha. Lazarus became very ill one day, and Martha sent word to Jesus, your friend is sick. And Jesus hears the words and says to his disciples, oh, his illness is not unto death. 4 days later, the word comes, your friend Lazarus is dead. And Jesus says to his disciples, let's go wake him up. Wake him up means he's not dead. Well, Jesus heads down to Bethany and Martha sees him coming. By the way, you think of Martha busy in the kitchen? Mary is the one who listened to the needful word of God of life. Martha knew it. Martha went out and says to Jesus when she meets him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus says, "Martha, your brother will live again." Listen to Martha's faith. "I know he will live again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus answers, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. And he that liveth and believeth in me will rise again." And then Jesus turns to Martha. "Do you believe this?" And Martha says, "Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's recorded in John 11. John is writing to convince us Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and by believing we might have eternal life in his name. That's the heart of the message. It's the resurrection, to know and to believe and to confess Jesus is the Christ. Jesus told his disciples once, "In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me." And Thomas says, "Lord, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus answers, "Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." The Apostle Paul was known as Saul. He was a Pharisee that probably voted that Jesus should be put to death for blasphemy, claiming to be the Christ. And then on the road to Damascus, Jesus appears to him. He's converted, he's baptized by Ananias, and we read in the Acts of the Apostles, and Saul, still called Saul at that point, we know him as Paul, and Saul eagerly refuted day by day the Jews, claiming that Jesus was the Christ. A few years later, Paul is preaching in Corinth. And there he went into the synagogues daily, proving from the scripture that Jesus is the Christ. A few years later, a very wise Greek by the name of Apollos. Apollos, a Gentile convert, knows the Old Testament. And Paul said, "I want you to leave Corinth and go to Ephesus." And there Apollos went into the synagogue and with great power proved from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Just before Jesus was crucified in the upper room, he prayed for his disciples, and not only for the disciples there, for the disciples of all times. He's praying for you, and he's praying for me. He said, "Father, I would that those that you have given unto me may be with me where I am, that they may see my glory." That's what we have coming in Jesus. The verse before our text, verses before our text, have Jesus' answer to Thomas, "Because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." It's you. It's me. We haven't seen him. We haven't touched him. But we believe through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Why should you read John? No, why should you read the whole Bible? That you might know that Jesus is the Christ, that by believing you might have life in his name. God grant that eternal life to us through Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.